Last time on Section 31.
Lead designer, continuing committee member, and former Deciferian, Brad DeFruiter.
I'm not that good at being an organized person.
Does the time from start to finish of an expansion, has that changed?
No. I still don't have the lead time that I want.
All right, well, you mentioned Raise the Stakes, which, as I understand it, is the upcoming virtual set. Can you tell us why we should be excited?
And he cuts out.
And now the conclusion.
You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourself.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 26. I am Dan Hammond. On this week's episode, we have the conclusion of the interview with lead designer Brad DeFruiter. Anytime you get new cards, you should be excited. I think that's what we look for to make sure that we know that our game is alive. I will say that every expansion has mixed feelings to it, and every expansion is going to have lukewarm feelings to it no matter what, whether it was virtual or whether it was actually in print. I think it's a lot easier to invest in something when you actually paid money for it than when you just downloaded it. But I do think that there's some exciting stuff going on in Raise the Stakes. There's some dilemmas going into some different locations. There's some exciting personnel in it. And there's a neat suite of events that I enjoy. So I think that there's some fun stuff. And I guarantee you this, everybody that downloads Raid the Stake on release day, pleasantly surprised, and they're going to be really happy with the cards that they get.
Excellent. Is there something specific you might be coaxed into giving us?
Hey, I'll tell you guys anything you want to know. Let's see. How about I give you guys this? I'm not going to give you any titles and lore because it's not all on there. So, because I don't have it. But how about I give you this? We've got a non-aligned personnel here that's a dissident that has a command and a past icons on it. Skills of archaeology, geology, honor, two leaderships big, and physics, and this personnel is a dissident. And it says, when this personnel begins a mission attempt at a mission worth 40 or more points, she gains each skill from a dissident present until the end of this turn. And of course, you have to pay for it. She costs 4. But she's also a species we know in the past, and I think anybody's going to sit around is going to be able to figure out some things from there. But she's exciting personnel, and I think some of those things are what we can look forward to in Raise the Stakes, that things like having 2 of a skill are important, and missions worth 40 or more points are going to be more fun in Raise the Stakes.
That's great. I love to see that mechanic being brought forth, because that was one that I was fond of in the past couple sets.
Definitely, and I think I've got some theories as to who that might be.
Wow, dissident love. That's awesome.
Yeah, and the 40 or more, I'll tell you this right now, guys, that we did a big research project to figure out what needs to happen in missions to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to play with 40 or more missions and be competitive.
Interesting. I'm being handed a note. Where did the name of the set come from?
Really, I was sitting around at home one day, and it just appeared to me, and I just thought, this is great. At least that's how I remember it. I don't think anybody suggested that title to me or anything like that, especially not anybody that whose name starts with an M and rhymes with Matthew Kirk. Did not suggest that expansion title to me at all. As far as I remember, it just showed up in front of me, and I went with it. I thought it was great.
Now, we're not going to have to wager any of our cards, are we?
Yeah, hey, listen, guys, I know that's a funny joke, believe me, because I've played with that card a lot. But I do want to say this. This virtual expansion is not about gambling, and it's not about random events, even though there is a little bit of gambling going on in it, because, you know, there's some Ferengi cards. But this is more about stepping up, you know, answering the call of, you know, go big or go home. It's getting bigger. It's making your game better. It's you're raising the stakes. You're putting more into it. And that's what it's more of about. And that's why I think that title fits so well with this virtual expansion.
Oh, we're not going to see Mickey D?
Yeah, there's a really, really good chance you will not see Mickey D and Royal. And let me just say, there are no Royale cards, let alone dilemmas, in this virtual expansion.
Well, now that we have moved on to the days beyond the Cypher, you are sort of the go-to guy as design head designer for the continuing committee. So is that changed your outlook at all? I mean, as far as your design process is concerned, obviously there's probably a certain degree of limitation you had to deal with. But are you now free of that constraints, having to deal with Decipher and Paramount breathing down your neck?
There are some things that I'm definitely more free on, that's for sure. Set size, we could have never done 45 card set size with at Decipher because of the press sheets. And the big thing with the press sheets is that press sheet was set by our printers ahead of time. We worked out our arrangement with our printers to keep prices down. They printed up all the card backs ahead of time on press sheets. And the only leeway we really had on press sheets was our foil / marketing sheets. Otherwise, we had to do math to make it work on sheets, on those press sheets that size. So that's a big freedom to have, is to say, oh yeah, we can do 45 card expansions here, you know, and that works great for people putting things in card binders with 9 card sleeves, and it makes things easier for, you know, since everybody's part-time, you know, everybody has a job or is hunting for a job or has got some other thing of life going on. They're not full-time continuing committee, isn't their job, so everything's done part-time. And it's amazing how much work gets done. You know, you can look at any other players committee thing out there for anybody trying to keep dead games alive. Not that Star Trek's anything close to should be considered a dead game at all. But, you know, we do it good. And you can tell that the Star Wars players committee is jealous at times. And I definitely know the Lord of the Rings committee is. So, yeah.
Well, now that you are in effect in charge, is there a card or a concept or a mechanic, something that you've always wanted to do in the game that you couldn't, or that you maybe got shut down while you were at Decipher, but now you're free to put in either in past sets or that is coming out upcoming?
The only things that I was shut down at Decipher on Star Trek side, you know, especially toward the end, was license issues, and that was it. You know, well, I would say also that if I didn't put any kind of star power into an expansion, showing some names that we want to see, I guess you could call it mains. If there wasn't that in an expansion, I might have been asked to try to get some of that kind of stuff in there. But I mean, I learned early that there needs to be star power in there, so I was never told what I needed to put in an expansion. The biggest thing was I was told what I could not put in expansion in terms of licensed material, especially with stuff that came from the original series. And now that, you know, I don't have that constraint anymore under the continuing committee, I have used many things underneath the that we're told not to before. I mean, there's some characters we see in the game already that that I wouldn't have been able to have access to that are now on cards. I'll tell you this, though. I always found it interesting that sometimes there were just some trading cards or other licensed material that come out, and I would see an actor image on a card on something for some other company, and I would say, hey, I was told I couldn't use that. And I would never get a straight answer as why they could use it and I couldn't. So that's something that I'm free of, which is exciting.
something we talk about a lot here on the show as far as the evolution of the game is concerned. Something that we keep seeing more and more, particularly over the past year, year and a half or so, is the game length has really gotten extended. It seems to be harder and harder for games to finish under an hour, which is particularly important, obviously, for tournament play. Things like heavy dilemma manipulation, that new mission that came out, Aldea, where you can force somebody to throw a boatload of away team members back under the deck and effectively force them to take several turns over again. Things seem to keep extending gameplay. Even a tournament several months ago we had where I think maybe two or three games out of a dozen finished before time ran out. Is that something an issue? I know that is concern around here. Is that something that you consider while you're in the design process?
Yes, always. It's always talked about. Maybe we don't talk about it as much as we talk about word count on cards. I mean, anybody that comes on and joins the design team, they absolutely will not enjoy working on cards very much afterwards when they realize that what they thought was three lines of card text turns into six lines of card text because of how it needs to be written. And then they realize that card, I'm not going to say can't be made, but needs to be made differently, because if we make a whole bunch of cards with six and seven card lines, that sucks. I'll also say that, you know, I know your question wasn't about word count. It was about the length of games, and it's something we look at. For Favor the Bold, it was something that got talked about a lot. I was worried about some of those dilemmas increase because there was a lot more counting going on, increasing the length of games, and I worry about it. It's no fun to lean and to be heard, you know, time's up, you know, you don't have a winner. Well, figure it out off of these rules here instead of it being a clear cut end of a game. But I'll say this, that, and I'm not condoning games going to time and saying that it's a good thing, but I would rather the game be a little bit longer than the game be too short and people feel that they didn't have a chance to play in their game. So anything that speeds up the game or is perceived to speed up the game has to be well tempered, because it could easily, in the world of gamers where gamers want to min-max everything, it can speed up the game too much, and no one wants that. No one wants a game where they don't feel like they actually played in the game because the game was over too fast.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Speeding up is definitely not a direction we want to go, but we also don't want to go the other direction, which is sort of the point we're getting at, is that some of these cards seem to be prolonging the game, which is not a direction we want to go either.
Yeah, and it's something that's being talked about. I mean, even I know that you're saying that it feels like it's been for the last year or so, but when Call to Arms got released, it slowed down the game. And there was a lot of talk during play testing about that, and there was a lot of arguments about it. There was one point where we might have considered not doing assimilation for the Borg because it slowed down the game. It was rough sometimes. I don't think that was ever going to happen, but it did get brought up at one point, or maybe looking for another way to do it. Anytime you do higher cost personnel or you promote higher cost personnel, like I've really done and design teams have done in the last 2 years, even, that's going to change the game. It's going to slow it down a little bit. It's going to make the game look a little bit differently. But I mean, I think everybody knows that at Worlds this year, every time that Michael stood up with his quick Mott deck, people noticed that his game ended really fast. And I don't know if people want that kind of thing where I'm still working on my first mission and his game is done over there, you know. So, yeah, I do look to try to strike that middle ground, but it's not always going to be easy, especially when gamers like to min-max stuff out. So, but I'm doing my best, and I know it is an issue. I do know it is an issue.
You mentioned arguing. Who do you argue with now?
A lot of times I'll argue with myself. Actually, I found myself arguing with myself a lot more in my last year at Decipher than anything else. And it's because I try to see every side of a scenario. But the other designers, the design teams. I found that since I've done the, don't get questioned a lot on why things are the way they are from the designers we brought on. I don't know if that's good or bad. Sometimes I think it makes things work smoother. And other times I think that when I say, no, we can't do that, it might be better if they turned around and said, why? And you're a doo-doo head, Brad. You need to give me a better reason than just saying you can't do that. But and it's not to fault any of the designers. I know that they're there to do their best, and they may not know that there's always as much give and take out there as there is. I try to encourage them to argue these things through. And I'll have to say that I think I'm picking some bright guys to be on our design teams. And I think sometimes when I say this isn't working, or we can't do this, or we need to think of a different way of doing these things, they see my rationale, or they understand what's going on, and they're ready to march ahead and not linger on the past. So I wouldn't say that there's any real arguments anymore, but there definitely are discussions. Having the Gerard around helps. He brings up an old email and points out that you were really adamant about this point, and now you're looking the other direction now, and kind of snap me back to reality, and you know, slap me around a little bit and make things work the way they should work.
All right, Brad, thanks for coming on and chatting with us a little bit, even if it was under duress. If you'll refer yourself to your capturing agent, I'm sure he will make sure you have an at least minimally comfortable ride back.
Man, I hope these drugs get out of my system before I have to go to work tomorrow.
Well, that's all the time we have this week. I hope you enjoyed the conclusion of the interview. On behalf of our producer, Matt Kirk, we'd like to once again thank Warp 11 for the use of their musical accompaniment. Go out and expand your power in the universe 26 times.